We're talking to Massimo Bottura, and he's describing some of his extraordinary dishes. I'd like, Massimo, for you to do one that, that almost everybody will probably understand or relate to, which is your pasta fagioli.
Pasta fagioli is another classic dish that we have in Italy, so pasta and beans. So I grew up with this kind of dish. So to me, it's really, really important, as you said and you mentioned before about flavors. I can work and play with this kind of dishes, but the flavor at the end has to remind you to your past, to your memories. This is very important, and because like this, I can transfer my memory, my experience to other people and give emotion. This is so this dish is becoming a compression in a small glass to have few bites just to remind how is pasta fagioli, or how could be a pasta fagioli. So to me, is like I start these dishes is divided in 7 different techniques. I start like creating a crème royale at the bottom of this glass with using beans, just a little of fat as pancetta, and some foie gras. I simmer everything and I cook at low temperature. Over this, I put some radicchio because I need some bitter things to clean the palate. So I create this, and the radicchio is really traditional in pasta fagioli in the north of Italy, like Veneto. So I braise the radicchio, just the interior part, not the whole leaves, just the interior. And so I got this bitterness. On the top of radicchio, there are little cubes of pancetta that are really crunchy. On the top of that, instead of using pasta, because pasta e fagioli, and make the mal tagliati, cioè bad cut, I took the Parmigiano Reggiano crust that are boiling with beans to give flavor to the beans, I let him boil with fagioli, let him sit for a while to lower the temperature. I slice with the slicing machine, and as a pasta, as handmade pasta, so really thin, and I gave the shape of mal tagliati. So you're gonna eat mal tagliati, or you're gonna eat crust of Parmigiano boiling instead of pasta. On the top, I create a cream of fagioli to remind of pasta fagioli. And at the end, just a light air of rosemary, because in pasta fagioli, the rosemary is really intense. And I don't like it so intense. So I create an air that is disappearing in your mouth. So you're going to eat deeply. You dip the spoon into the bottom of this glass, and you come back with the old feeling of pasta e fagioli.
Listeners, I hope you're getting the impression that this is sort of a rather unique place. Now, 8 years ago when we were here, we were interested because Massimo said he was excited about the fact that later that year he was going to go spend 3 months at El Bulli in Spain. We haven't talked to him a lot about what that experience is like, but I have a more open question, and you can perhaps relate to whether Ferran Adria, whether you learned anything special. How do you keep on coming up with these new ideas?
Coming up with new ideas is not simple to answer. The impression of I always say that Ferran took me to another level. You know, I had experience with tradition and French cuisine before. I read a lot, so I already had an idea of what was going on and using these siphons and this. I grew up with in a family that the cuisine is very important, and imagine at the Sunday lunch serving 17 people every Sunday. So I know it was like a restaurant. And my mom she's a great cook, so I took a lot from them. But Ferran, and my wife, I think they are the most important people for me because they conceptualized my cuisine. So Ferran, he teach me how to work with that. He went deep into some techniques. Start working with different and think about creating plate with acidity and sugar and so stimulate the palate. And my wife I think is really really important because she goes deeply into the dish and ask me in question, why did you do this? Why did you use this technique? Why always why? And I have to answer, and this make me think. And if you think, you can create a really important thing.
Now, you have another more casual venture, and you also have a line of products. Would you like to tell us what those are?
Yeah, this is a business, a kind of a business, because for me business is always something that I took from my family, and so this balsamic vinegar, because I'm from Modena, and during 1996, an American journalist called Faith Willinger and Mario Batali. They were eating here, and they were thinking, and we were talking and discussing the problem of finding a good balsamic vinegar for chefs. So I said, maybe I can do something for this, and I create a line of product after like 15 years. Now is a line of product. At the time, it was just a balsamic vinegar like artigianale. I named Villa Manodori. That is an old villa that the family own outside in the country that my sister husband family owns, and like that I create this line for chef, thinking about chefs, and the product are really perfect to be matched with beef juice, fish, or everything, because they have the right texture. The problem for me is like traveling all over the world and find balsamic vinegar reduction. To me, it blows my mind. For a product like mine that is the age for years and years, think about reduction in a pan is like a disaster. So I decide in that that I remember beautiful dinner, beautiful night, I decide to create this line of product that I name Villa Manodori, and now there is Essenziale oils. They're all products that are experienced, and they came and they arrive from the experience of my cuisine.
How does one get this?
In United States, they're like distributed by the Medici. It's a beautiful company that they're really into the high quality products all over Europe, France, Spain, Italy, like that. And they're really nice guys. And for the people, I think William and Sonoma, they carry that. Dean and De Luca, Whole Food, they're like becoming kind of big. It's became.
Mm. And what about this more casual wine bar?
3 years ago, me and my sommelier, Giuseppe Beppe, we decided to create a wine bar because to introduce the product and the taste and to educate the palate of young crowds in Modena and all over. So we try to be cheap and to involve a young crowd to start to educate palate to eat the right prosciutto, the right culatello, the right meat. And so, and keep everything really compressed, because you know at Ozzeria Francescana we have 12 people in the kitchen for 30 people serving, and so the prices, you know, they're like, they have to be, they're not affordable for everyone, so we try to do that.
Well, you are so extraordinary. I just have to ask you, because you're always thinking, always creating. What do you envision is next?
Next, I don't know. I just, I don't know. I have a dream, you know, for someone like me that is not born into a restaurant, is just passion, you know, that became and grow. To me, like maybe the third star Michelin is a dream. Now I have two, and who knows what's gonna be next. Could be also that I start thinking and taking consideration of open something around the world, you know, maybe New York, maybe Singapore. Now I just receive a brochure with a beautiful tower in Singapore, and offer me the last two floors to open a restaurant as Osteria Francescana. Who knows?
Listeners, it all might sound a little bit complicated. In fact, Massimo is showing Anne pictures of a new skyscraper in Singapore, and somehow it's hard to imagine Osteria Francescana somewhere other than on the corner of a little street in Modena that you could drive by if you didn't know it was here. But here's the last point that I wanted to make, and then I'll ask Anne to wrap up. It all might sound a little bit intimidating, because the food is very extraordinary, the chef is very extraordinary. What you have to understand is what is on your plate, dish after dish after dish, is the most delicious food you are ever going to taste. So even if you're not interested in the presentation, when it comes in your mouth, it explodes and you'll be delighted. Now, Wayne, what do you have to say about that?
Well, of course, I thoroughly agree. I want to say that this man has so many dimensions. He also has an art collection, and it's something I'm very sensitive about, that you could die for. He has such a great eye. And his dishes, of course, are beautiful, but he also has, his restaurant is so tasteful. It's an ambience that you would love to be in, and everybody who comes in here is somebody you might even want to talk to, because they're all of the same ilk. They love good food, they have good taste, they love a beautiful ambience. Would you like to say one more thing to our listeners, Chef?
No, just that, you know, I just want to say to the young guys, they really want to be a chef, that it's really hard, but it's very important. They believe in dream, and they live their life as a dream. So like that, one day you can become a chef, and you can maybe the dream they're gonna be is gonna be a reality. You know that I say this because as I mentioned, they were reminding me that I was 10 years ago. I was saying that maybe I was opening a restaurant in New York. I said that because you know, the critic and the journalist, they were really interested in what I was doing, and they considered me like a crazy guy who ruined the products. And now, you know, now they said, you know, as you know, so be strong, believe in your dream, and one day maybe they're going to be reality.
We love this guy, and I think you will too. So listeners, come. Again, it's Massimo Butera, and it is the Osteria Francescana in Modena, which is in the province of Emilia-Romagna, Italia. Grazie.
Thank you to everyone.